The Feed.
Hello and welcome to episode 92 of The Feed, the official Libsyn podcast, the podcast that takes it beyond how to podcast into keeping you podcasting with podcasting tips and information for the everyday podcaster and taking you inside Libsyn, the largest podcast host and distribution network since 2004. Hello, my name is Elsie Escobar and the Libsyn community manager, otherwise known as a podcaster happiness expert, which is what I try to do in social media, keeping you informed, cool, calm, and happy. Speaking of, have you gotten an opportunity to follow Libsyn on social media? We have a really cool and engaged community, especially on Facebook and Twitter. Great stuff happening all around. Just search for Libsyn, L-I-B-S-Y-N, and let's get connected. And if you want to connect with me personally, I am YoGeek almost everywhere, and that is Y-O-G-E-E-K. In today's episode, we cover everything from podcast awards and meetups to Skype alternatives, links to show notes, Squarespace, and Libsyn, answers to the top questions from support, and of course, stats. Plus, we have a guest co-host in the episode. You're going to have to listen up to see who it is. So let's get going with this thing. Here is our first promo of the episode, Podcast Meander.
Hi, I'm Dan Leone. So last year, I set my life on fire. It was a life I hated, so I finally just got in my car and started driving, with no plan and no destination. And now, I document those debauched wanderings in a show called Podcast Meander, which features an ever-evolving format, from musical journalism to political docufiction to outright lies. Check it out at podcastmeander.com or iTunes or wherever you download podcasts.
I have a question for you. We have plans to create more podcasting-related content on the Libsyn blog, which you can find over at blog.libsyn.com. We'd love to have it be more useful for you as a podcaster, content creator, as well as more prominent in the podcasting space, and also to be able to highlight you more specifically. Would you be so kind as to let me know what types of articles you'd love to have access to on the blog? Are you interested in workflow hacks or hardware slash software information or marketing slash promotional tips? You know, anything that comes to mind that you find that you really need to reference back to maybe learn from or to link to help somebody else, you know, stuff like that. We already have our support blog, which has very, very specific Libsyn-related support content, and it's excellently produced by Crystal O'Connor from the support team. But we were looking to supplement that with a little bit more general podcasting anything, right? So can you please just go ahead and let me know, long form, short form? How about it? Please email thefeed@libsyn.com or you can simply tweet at Libsyn, L-I-B-S-Y-N, and let me know your desires. We can even have a little back and forth, DM back and forth about anything, that kind of stuff. I'm really trying to get a handle of how we can start to get some content out there for you guys. So let's hear it from our second promo of the episode, The Marketing Disenchanted Podcast.
Hello, this is Timad, host of the Marketing Disenchanted Podcast, where we have candid, no BS conversations about professional digital marketing. Because let's be frank, there's more than a little fluff out there about all you need is social media or the next thing to make you or your clients millionaires. And technically, that's correct, but it's rarely, if ever, that easy in practice. So I bring on actual professionals, not the fake internet kind, to give you their insights and maybe save you some heartache. Check us out on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, or your favorite podcast listening app, and please do leave a review.
On the Libsyn blog, we run a cool series highlighting Libsyn podcasters. It's called Rockin' Libsyn Podcasts. So on Mondays, we feature you. And part of the feature, if you choose, is to add an audio component, just like this one, from Adoptees On.
Hi, Rob and Elsie and listeners of the feed. My name is Haley Radke, and I host the podcast Adoptees On, the podcast where adoptees discuss the adoption experience. I started podcasting because I love podcasts. I have listened for a number of years before it was cool to listen to podcasts, back when I had to download them in iTunes, sync up my iPod Classic, and to get them onto a portable device. I just love the intimacy a host can create with their audience. I was looking in iTunes, trying to find a podcast about adoption when I was going through a couple of different issues in my own reunion with my biological family, and I couldn't find any except for ones that were by adoptive parents. So I thought, oh, this is a niche I could fill. I love technology. I'm pretty tech savvy. I have administrative skills, and I'm a stay-at-home mom, so I have some time on my hands, and I thought it would be a fun little side project I could do. It turns out I absolutely love it, and it's become a great passion project for me. I have an interview show where I interview adult adoptees, and they talk about their history, if they know why they were relinquished, and they talk about their family situation, if they've searched for their biological parents, and what reunion has been like for them. It's a fascinating show. We talk about a lot of deep things. People reveal some hurts and traumas, and often we have some tears together. It's my absolute honor to share those stories with fellow adoptees. My podcasting setup, don't roll your eyes, but I have the Blue Yeti. I record my interviews on Skype via call recorder, and I edit in Audacity. So those are all things that I found online when it was tips to start your podcast. And so I do regret my purchase of the Blue Yeti, and I'm actually considering getting the ATR 2100 to replace it. But I've learned a lot of tips for editing in Audacity to take out the noise that my busy house creates. I have 2 young boys, 2 and 4, at home. And so I also run the show through Auphonic at the very end. And I'm pretty happy with the sound quality overall, especially in the second half of my season 1. I use a MacBook Pro. It's old. It's from 2011. So the fan's always going and is quite loud. So that's one thing we splurged on, and I've ordered my new laptop. So hopefully that will reduce some of the noise. I promote my podcast mostly on social media, especially Twitter and Instagram, Facebook as well. But my audience is the one that shares it. They share it with their friends that are adoptees. Adoptive parents share it with other adoptive parents. And I kind of jokingly said one time, oh, and share the show with your therapist, because we're talking about such deep things. And a lot of them did. It's so funny. I get emails from therapists now saying, hey, I recommend your show to my clients. So that's pretty awesome. I'm really happy with that. What I wish I knew when I started was just to be brave and get started. I waited a while before I thought I had everything perfect, and it still wasn't perfect. And I've learned so much from listening to the feed and other podcasts about podcasting, and I've really appreciated that input. So educate yourself as much as you can. Listen to other shows to find out what you love and what you don't, and that will help you build an amazing show. I'm really looking forward to my second season, which will probably be live when you hear this. And you can find us at adopteeson.com. I'd love to have you as a new listener. Thank you so much, Rob and Elsie, for featuring Adoptees On and for all the wisdom and insights you share with us on the feed.
The power of podcasting is in its diversity of subjects, workflows, and most importantly, what works for you. This series, as you can hear, is all about helping each other learn about new ways of doing things, or exploring tried and true methods, or simply getting to know each other. How powerful is it that now we know there's a podcast all about adoptees? And that you can help someone, you know, guide them to this podcast in case, you know, either you are an adoptee or you know somebody that's been looking for something like this. This is like super fantastic. Anyway, if you want to be a Rockin' Lipson podcast, all you need to do is to email thefeed@lipson.com and ask. That is it. That is all. I will then follow up with you with what needs to, you know, what I need from you. And once I get all of your information back, I will then schedule you on, and it's always done on a first come, first serve basis. Got that? I look forward to hearing from you. And now on to the third promo of the episode, Lucky to Be Dad, followed by our main chunk of content, my usual conversation with, wait for it, this time, Dave Jackson from the School of Podcasting, as well as part of our amazing support team with a guest appearance by Rob Walsh, the VP of Podcaster Relations at Lipson, to take us home with some killer stats. Let's go.
Hi, everyone. My name is Jillian. Come listen to my podcast. It's about my life as a seven-year-old. And hear my dad's point of view, because with me as his daughter, he is Lucky to Be Dad podcast and Super Dad and Me. Yay! Yes.
Thanks, Jillian. And we can be found at facebook.com/LuckyToBeDadPodcast, on Twitter at LuckyToBeDad, LuckyToBeDadPodcast@gmail.com, and our voicemail is 424-262-2435.
Hello, Dave!
Good generic time of the day. See, I'm trying to do a Rob imitation. It's so hard to fill his shoes. But yes, thanks. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it may be, wherever you're at.
Good. I know, I'm so happy to have you here. So this is the first time we're doing this like solo. Because the last time you and Rob were, where was it? Was it in a pod? It was a pod something.
Podcast movement, I think.
I don't think so, because I would have been there. No? It was somewhere that I wasn't. That was another pod.
Oh, pod something DC.
Yeah. We are such. Something. Yeah, we are so great at sharing with our community the exact names of these events that are supportive of podcasting. Yeah, it was MapCon. Is that what it was called?
No, it was PodFest DC.
Okay, whatever. Well, good. I mean, yes. Yeah. So that's when you guys were there in one place. Were you dealing, you guys, I remember it was something like you guys were dealing with one headphone?
Yeah, we actually shared a set of earbuds. Yes, it was very Lady and the Tramp kind of thing, where he had the left ear and I had the right ear. It's kind of like we both made sure we hit the scope beforehand, and it worked.
Oh my God, that reminds me of that. Well, at least it wasn't like what Jess and I had to do with, which was with my H2, and it was between us, and the, like, she was facing directly me, and every time we talked, we had to move into the H2, and we could just barely stop from us dying of laughter, because it was just so uncomfortable and silly.
Yeah, I don't think I could handle that with Rob.
Yeah. And it would look very bizarre. Anyway, so let's get started. We have lots of things to cover today. But we're going to kind of open up a little bit, just giving you a little bit of information about some podcasting awards that are going on. I guess there's like these Latin podcast awards. I don't know if you had a chance to look at that. That was very interesting. I don't even know how I came upon these, actually. Probably in my searching for feeds and whatnot. So there are Latin podcast awards out there, people. So I'm not exactly sure. So it's celebrating and honoring achievements by independent podcasters. And it's sponsored by Audio Dice Network. I know basically nothing else about this other than that. I'm just letting you guys know there'll be a link in the show notes. So this is
celebrating contributions made by other Latin and non-Latin members of the podcasting community who have made a significant contribution to the Latin podcast industry. How about that? So
you could very cool.
You could be non-Latin and have, you know, a show about, I guess, Latin America, and you could still get an award. How about
nice.
That?
Nice.
So anyway, there's some information. There's a nomination fee and things like that. So if you guys want to go check it out. And then we also have the Australian Podcast Awards. We get a little message from Dave Gertler, who is actually the guy who got this together. They're called the Castaway Awards. And they are coming up on April 1st in Sydney. And he just lets us know that they had over 200 podcasts enter. They have judges that are working their way through submissions. So I assume there's a thing that they do, you know, listen to things, listen to the finalist and whatever. And the finalists were just announced, I assuming here it says on March 16th. And, you know, it's not March 16th anymore. So they were probably... You know, shown out. So do you have any thoughts about some of these podcast awards?
Here's the thing. As somebody who's been nominated multiple times and never won, think about this. I'll give you an example. The last time I was nominated for a podcast award, I lost to Reply All. Now, Reply All has a team of like 15. And there are two ways to think about this. I could have sour grapes and go, it's not fair. They have a team of 15. But the other way to look at this is go, wow, I got nominated and I have, you know, 1/15th of the team they did, and I still produce content good enough to get nominated in that group. So, you know, and no matter what you do, I was really surprised when you had at PodFusion your She Podcast Awards.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because no matter what you do with awards, somebody's going home unhappy. Mm-hmm. So as always, it's always an honor to be nominated. And you know, I know Todd Cochran, when he had the podcast awards, was always saying he had people like getting really nasty with him. And it's like, look, it's an award. I don't know. For me, I don't do this for awards. I do it for my audience. So, you know, there's always going to be people that are going to scream. It's a fix. And it's, you know, it's the pro casters versus the indies. And look, it's an award show. Somebody liked your stuff. And if you're nominated, realize that's a little more exposure than you used to get, and take that and be happy. It's life is too short to be upset about these things.
Yeah, I don't, you know, I would never, like, I remember with the podcast awards last, you know, when people were like talking about just giving Todd poop and everything else in between and complaining, because everybody always will complain. And the other thing too is that everybody will also always want to cheat, which is so awful.
Yeah.
People always like to find a good way to like sneak things through and make things, you know, just, I don't know. Those kinds of things just irritate me. And so I would not want to be the one that's running any kind of award because, oh my God. And then the She Podcast Awards were actually, we did it a little bit differently. It was, they sort of like, there were a couple of women that we did want to honor specifically because of their longevity in the space. And, you know, so we gave a couple of awards for that. But the other ones were really based upon attendance to PodFest. And we wanted to really give awards to those specific women that were already there, kind of thing. So it wasn't like we were like, let's give an award to, and then come, you know, here's a person, here's a woman, and we just grabbed her. It was basically whoever was in the room, we kind of like were like, okay, so and so is going to, you know, to PodFest. What award could that person get? And so they were very fun and lighthearted. It wasn't like anything that was like the best woman's podcaster person ever in the world. So.
Well, you actually won an award in Florida.
We did.
You and Jess.
We did. We did win it. I actually have it. Yeah, it's an Odd Couple award. So
yeah,
we did win that.
What was it? The Pazzies, I think, is what they called those.
They're called the Pazzies. Yeah.
Yes. So you and Jess won one. My cat won one, which was kind of interesting. So.
He is so famous. He needs his own podcast.
There you go.
Could you imagine? It would be like Bernie.
Yeah.
It's just
welcome
like
to
meowing.
The Bernie Show. Yeah, just
meow,
meowing.
Meow, 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 meow.
Exactly.
You know, and you know, so, it would be interesting to see how many downloads he gets.
Loads it gets. I'll get right on that. Exactly. So have fun with them. Awards are great, but if for some reason you don't win, you know, that's again, it's an honor to be nominated. So don't get too crazy about those things.
Yeah. And so
you ready for me to say something extremely stupid and American?
Yeah.
Canada is big. I heard about this. There's they're calling it Podcast Movement Local. It's in Vancouver.
Okay.
And I was like, hey, you know, I'm in near Cleveland. Cleveland's near the lake, and right on the other side of that is Canada. Maybe I'll just drive to this thing. Having no clue where Vancouver was, and Vancouver's kind of on the California side of Canada. And I was like,
oops.
It's like a 6-hour flight. And I was like, yeah, I don't think I'll be attending this one. But yeah, this is on March 17th in Vancouver.
So it just happened.
It did just happen, didn't it?
Yes. That's okay.
It's happening as we speak. Yes. So that brings up a great point that if you have some sort of event that's happening, be sure to send it to Elsie.
Yeah.
And we'll be happy to promote your event so that and we'll even promote it before it happens.
I know.
As opposed to
when it's happening. Yeah, do share it with me. You could always email thefeed@libsyn.com and I will put it in the, what do you call it, in our social media stuff. I'm always looking for things to share. And one of the best things to do is just these local, the local meetups and things like that. Even though, you know, I mean, obviously it's local and if it's like happening in your town, don't think that just because it's happening in your town, you won't get anybody to show it. Like if I share it, it's not going to be good. I think it's good for the entire community to just know that these things are going on. So you never know who you're going to reach out to in that.
Well, yeah. And people can't go to it if they don't know it's not, you know what I mean? If somebody just said, hey, yeah, there was a thing in Akron last week, I'd be like, I didn't know, you know, yeah. So you got to let people know so they can plan ahead and attend.
And put it in there. Absolutely. So, awesome. Let's get into some of this feedback that we've gotten here. Or some quick, because I don't even know if it's called feedback. And I'm not sure if it's feedback. It's sort of like questions.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Okay, here we go. Email. Guys, last year you discussed podcast services for recording multi-track with guests. You mentioned Cast and Zencastr, now out of beta. I found others such as Source Connect Now, though it only records up to 15 minutes, and Clean Feed. I wonder if you or any of the feed listeners have used any of these services regularly enough to gauge how reliable they are. My fear of using them is for them to fail and I have to get the guests back on the show. I usually use a mixture of recording the conversation split track with Audio Hijack and guests recording their end with Audacity. With non-tech savvy guests, Audacity is rather hit or miss is, I think that's what it means. And quite a lot of miss. Oh, I see. It's rather hit and quite a lot of miss. And I fall back on my recording. Even with this setup, I've had to re-record a few times and it's a relatively bomb-proof setup. Keep up the good work, Angus. And he is from the WW2 podcast, the World War II podcast, because WW is not really. So from the History Network. So what do you have to say about that, Dave?
Well, the first question I always go to is if everybody's using Skype, I don't know. I don't have a problem with Skype. Maybe that's just where I live. I'm on what used to be Time Warner Cable. I don't really have a ton of problem with Skype. I'm of the school of no matter what you're using, whether it's Cast, which I've used, Zencastr, which I've used Ringer as well. And all those are fairly, I think out of all of those, they've all messed up once. So that's not really great to hear, as Skype will mess up on occasion. So my thing is, no matter what you're using, always have a backup. So I will, if I'm on, you know, Zencastr, I will take the headphone out of that and run it into a little portable recorder and then plug my headphones into the recorder and hit record. So whatever I'm hearing in my headphones, I'm also recording that. That doesn't give you the fancy schmancy separate tracks things. But as a backup, it'll work great because I don't know, for whatever it is, for whatever reason is, it seems like whatever you're using, and especially the more important the guest is, the more likely is that something's going to go down the tube. So I always try to have two things running. What are your thoughts? Any, have you played with any of these?
I have. Well, we do cast with She Podcast and whatnot. The thing is that I'll have an X Factor, which is John Buchanan, and he's amazing, you know? And so what tends to happen is he takes care of all of the technical issues himself. So he's there with us. And so whenever we do anything, he sets up the whole thing for us. We will start, and then Jess and I will start to record. And then if he, and he's watching technically everything that's going on down with us, because Jess and I do not have the capacity to keep that in our heads as well. And so he just checked it out. And the minute, you know, like this last time he was like, Elsie, you are really, you're almost like a second behind. Something's going on with your internet. So he immediately would set up another recording. Like he's watching.
Right.
And he's making sure that everything's okay from both of our ends. So I have the extra bonus feature of him. If you want him, he's actually for hire, audioeditingsolutions.com. But he'll run it for you, which is awesome. But and Zencastr I've done a couple of times. I think the trouble with me with some of these services is that it requires the guest to be mindful of staying on until their files are uploaded.
Yeah.
And it depends on how fast their internet is. And I feel it kind of might put it off for somebody, you know what I mean? If you have like an important guest or something and go like, hey, can we have our, you know, can we do an interview? And then can you just stay?
I ran into that where I did a 40-minute interview with somebody, and then it took like another 10 minutes for them because I was doing the fancy schmancy, let's record it as a WAV file. Well, then it took like 10 minutes to upload the WAV file when they're done, and they're kind of like, I've got to go here. So if this doesn't load quickly, and I'm like, okie dokie.
Yep.
So that's something you have to know ahead of time. If you're using the WAV function on Zencastr, you got to leave some time for that thing to upload. And that, again, depending on their internet speed, that could be a problem. I just realized I have played with CleanFeed. At the time, their recording was still in beta. Mm-hmm. It was basically just a way to connect over the internet. I've also used Zoom.us.
Me too.
Their recording is not great. They really squish your audio. But again, if you wanted to connect via Zoom and then record it on a portable recorder, that would work as well. But then you don't really have a backup. That's another strategy I've heard of, especially when you're dealing with people who aren't super tech savvy, is if they're somewhere near Wi-Fi and they have a smartphone, have them install Skype on their smartphone and use the app on the phone via Wi-Fi. And you'll be amazed at the results you get, because the iPhone or Android phone, the microphone in phones now is actually pretty decent, as opposed to somebody using the microphone on a laptop or something like that. And I've heard that that gives pretty decent results.
Yeah, you're right. And that's a really great idea. And it really is, I think, the reason that I feel people are moving away from Skype and the troubles that they're having with Skype and whatnot, I don't think it's an issue with Skype itself. I think it's an issue with general technical upkeep and know-how from us as a whole, particularly knowing like what apps are running in the background, how fast is your internet connection right now? Because if you're going to be doing a lot of interviews, let's say at 6 p.m., whatever your local zone is, and you are using something like DSL, it's going to get bogged down. I'm assuming everybody's going to be coming home at that time, getting online, streaming Netflix, you know, things like that. So then your pipes are going to be clogged a little bit more, or their pipes are going to be clogged a little bit more. And also guests' know-how is also an issue as well. So I feel that the issues that people are having with all of these connections is not really usually due to the service. It's used to us not paying attention to the little things.
Yeah.
And just because like even when we started, when Dave and I started today, Dave was like, hey, dude, you are breaking up.
You had that whole Bugs Bunny on Poison thing going on where it's like,
yeah.
Yeah, go.
Yeah, Yeah.
And I was like, that's not going to work.
Yeah. And so I had to, you know, restart the computer, kind of like reboot things that were, you know, syncing in the background, turn off some stuff. So you have to be able to do that. And but in addition to all of that, any of you guys that have consistently been using these services, whether it be Cast or Zencastr or Ringer or anything like that, do reach out to us and make sure that we get your information, because that would be really cool. It would be very helpful for everybody. All right. So we have an audio question from Steve Stewart.
Hi, Robin, Elsie. It's Steve Stewart from stevestewart.me. And I've got a question about hyperlinks in the description field, both in the ID3 tags and in the description on Libsyn. I've found myself completely changing careers, and now I'm producing more than a dozen shows for other podcasters in the personal finance field, and they actually give me access to their Libsyn account to upload and schedule the episode for them. And so I'm creating the file, and I'm entering the ID3 tags and the MP3, and then I'm uploading it to Libsyn. So I wanted to know, what are the best practices for using hyperlinks in the show description, both in the ID3 tags and in Libsyn? So what should be included? How many links are too many? Should you include the www with the https://? Those types of things are what I'm curious about. So best practices for show description that includes hyperlinks, so people can go to wherever you're directing them to from their smartphone devices or wherever. Thanks, Robin, Elsie. It's Steve from stevestewart.me. I'll hang up and listen to your answer now.
What do you think about that, Dave?
Well, I did some checking. The best thing, if you are, because he's talking about two things. One is doing your show notes in the Libsyn dashboard. And that one's really easy. You can highlight, like I could type the word "the feed," highlight that, click on the little button that looks like a little, like a chain link, and have that go to thefeed.libsyn.com. So that one's really easy. You can make your links in the dashboard. I think the tricky one is you can actually put notes in your ID3 tags. So if you're using some sort of tool on your computer, and then you upload it, and you can have those notes go into Libsyn. You can say, hey, use these ID3 tags and put them in as my notes. And so I did some checking. The best, he said, what's the best strategy? Throw in the http://. That will then automatically turn that into a link. In terms of how many, boy, that's a hard question. Because to me, I would want to put in as many, like with your show, well, with this show, anytime you know, we're mentioning the promos and the websites and everything that we've mentioned in here, you know, so we have to have those links there. So I would always say, in terms of how many, as many as you mentioned, because you want to be a resource for your listeners. What do you think, Elsie?
Yeah, it's, it really depends on your person. Like to me, one of the first, and I know that Steve works with other people, right? So he does mm-hmm. a lot of work for other people. I think that all people are always like, what's the best strategy? Really, the best strategy is the strategy that you want for yourself. One of the reasons that I love in-depth show notes with tons of links is because I want them. You know, I want those links. When I'm right. listening to a podcast, I want those links. My biggest pet peeve is if I listen to an entire podcast where they're talking about all kinds of resources and blah, 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 I'm on my phone, I click through to the show notes, because you can in almost every single one of the podcast app, and it says, if you want the show notes, come to my website. Or it doesn't even say that. It's a truncated RSS feed right. that's inside my phone. If you do that, that's a big fail in my book. I'm like, and then people who work with me, you know, my clients that work with me, I just immediately will say, do not do that. Stop it. because as of now, even we're going to hear some stats here very soon as well. The RSS feed wins, and the majority of people are not going to your website to listen. And even if you're selling things on your website, you can put a link in the show notes for that, only for the show notes. So here's my workflow, because I'm very opinionated about this, Steve Stewart. I actually do all of my show notes on Byword. So it's an external text editor that supports Markdown. So I do the majority of my work in Markdown on Byword. And the reason that I like that is because it gives me clean HTML, because it can export to that. And I also have a copy, a direct copy of text, basic text inside of my computer. once, and I have a template for every single one of my podcasts. So all I do really is I duplicate that template every single episode, and then I do all of the hyperlinks inside of that. It's already pre-formatted. I just kind of like add new things as I mention them. I export it to HTML, and then I copy-paste inside of the description inside of the Libsyn dashboard. That's what I do. And then I can also copy paste those same notes anywhere else that I want. In fact, I do that for when I go over to the Libsyn podcast, not the Libsyn podcast page, the Facebook page for Libsyn. One of the posts that I put in for like this episode, for episode 92, one of the posts that I share is an image post. And inside of that image post, which means it's just going to be the image of episode 92, I actually copy and paste all of the show notes, the majority of them, like the bullet points. How do I do that? I copy and paste from that same exact text file. So it's not like I'm wasting my time again. It's just the same thing. So you can repurpose. And I also create tweets and Facebook updates based on copy and pasting that same text. So it's all in one place. So the hyperlinks and how many is too many, I don't think I've ever seen anything that's too many, especially if you look at the feed show notes, you will see that there's a lot. You have to scroll down a lot. And a lot of the, you know, my best and most favorite podcast episodes or podcasters and podcasts, all of them have links in the show notes that I can absolutely and easily sign up, buy things, read stuff, send feedback, all from within the show notes without having to go to a third party place.
And the cool thing is, I know you put time codes on the different subjects. And that's the other thing we should probably mention. Different apps function different ways. Like I know I use Overcast, and I can click on a time link and it'll go right to that part of the file, which is great. Now that doesn't happen in every app. And likewise, we should probably mention iTunes desktop. It doesn't matter what you do to your hyperlinks, will not work. I don't know why.
Right. Because there's it's lame.
Just the way it is. And with the podcast app, it's not super easy to get to the links. You have to click on, you know, you click on it to start the player. And then at the bottom, you'll see the little player with the title of your episode. You have to click on that and then it'll open up your show notes, but you'll see your artwork. You then have to, I believe, either scroll down or click on the artwork. I just remember it's three clicks to get to the hyperlinks in the podcast app. Why that is, I don't know, but it's really easy to think they're not working. And it's like, no, they're there. You just have to dig for them. So
yeah. And they usually
keep that in mind as well.
There are different ways to do it, but just like regardless of what it is, it's complicated. And it usually is around three clicks to get to those notes. And there's also the other part, which is there's like three little dots on the right-hand side, upper right-hand side, and you got to tap on that, and then wherever it says get more, that's how you get them. It's very annoying, but but they're there. So Steve, it really is, what I would say is, for you personally and also for the people that you help, you need to like sit down and either show your clients or, you know, send them screenshots or something, show them what their show notes look like inside the podcast apps. And what would you want to have? You know, what would you want to have when you were getting this information? You know, if it's something like an interview show where there aren't very many hyperlinks, I don't know, maybe you don't want to make very crazy show notes. But, you know, with a show like this that involves a lot of detailed answers maybe, or we're telling you about certain events or tutorials, it really does help the audience for them to get the information now, rather than me going, hey guys, come to the blog post and look at this stuff there, because that nobody's going to do that.
So, yeah, I'm with you on that. I'm a person that tends to go grr when I click on the artwork and I'm waiting. They just mentioned something. I'm like, oh, cool, I want to check that out. And I click on it. And there are two things that are worse. One is the click here to go to my website. And number two, I've seen where there's like nothing. There's like no show notes. And it's just like, this is episode 17. I'm like, that's great. But that doesn't,
doesn't help me. Yeah. Do you know this is even there? That rising bananas too.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I scream fail at that as well.
Yes. All right. So if you have any other thoughts, guys, you guys can send in again to thefeed@libsyn.com. And then we, you know, whatever other opinions you might have about show notes as well. So moving on, we have another email. Hello, Elsie and Roberto. I have a WordPress website. It functions and it's fine. But Squarespace sites look so much cleaner. But I haven't seen a good podcast Squarespace site. Do you know if they have a good template for podcasts? Any example you can think of? Should I avoid? Thanks. And this is from Billy from the Man Whore Podcast.
Love the title.
I know. He actually has some of the best promos. He sends the best promos in here because they're all like, you know how we have clean promos? We won't play clean promos.
Right.
His promo is basically all beeps.
Yeah. So, welcome to the beep. Well, where we beep, beep. With the beep. Yeah.
Exactly. So, but they're great. So anyway, Billy, I asked the She Podcast community as well as our own community, and I'd sent these along with you. I sent these to you already, but I'm just going to name off some of you guys because maybe some of these you might want to check out, you listener, in case you want to check out. These are all people who are using Squarespace as their website and Libsyn to host their media. So they are not using Squarespace as a podcast host, just to clarify. The majority of them are also using the Libsyn player. So Tiffany Han, and Han is han.com/podcast. You can check that out. Liveblacksheep.com, booksbetween.com, artfulcamera.com/podcast. That's actually one of my favorites. Adopteeson.com/listen, janmccarthy.com/radio show, theanxietycoachespodcast.com/intro, wastingallthetime.com, everydayethics.org. So those are, well, I'm going to try and link all these up in the show notes for you guys so you guys can click through to see them. But you can totally do it. Have you seen any, Dave, that you've liked from Squarespace at all, or do you have any interest?
I agree that Squarespace makes some pretty websites. I've just never seen one that I was like, oh, then they have a podcast. I usually just come across and I'll be like, oh, this looks cool, and I'll scroll down and I'll see where, because usually I'm looking like, you know, created in WordPress, and then I'm like, oh, it's created in Squarespace. So yeah, that is one tool that I've not played with. I had like a 14-day free trial, and then life happened and I never played with it, but that is something I want to go back and play with because it does make some pretty websites.
It does. I actually, mine is on Squarespace. I haven't touched it in so long. Like, it's not updated at all. One thing that I would say for Squarespace sites as a whole is that they are very image heavy, meaning they really work well with images, but they don't supply the images for you. So one thing that you are going to have to think about a lot more in terms of the websites that you're doing for Squarespace is, yes, they're easy. They're actually very easy to put together, and they aesthetically look pretty, and you can customize the colors and all that stuff and fonts like you wouldn't believe. But the thing is, you can't do that. You need to have the images or in a visual brand that is nice, because you can't just put random images up there. It looks really bad because they really focus on images. So if you have a crappy pixelated image, it's going to look even more crappy because it's highlighted. You know what I mean? So you just have to think about getting, you know, either purchasing some stock photography of some kind that really aligns with your brand, or getting brand colors, or maybe having somebody to kind of help you with some of that stuff. That's the only caveat that I have, because the websites that look the best are the ones that have put some thought on the images that are up there, because you can't customize a lot of those. All right. So,
some more audio feedback.
Some more audio feedback. Okay, here we go.
Hey, Rob and Elsie. This is Prescott from the Busy Creator Podcast and a longtime listener. So I have a question, and I wonder if you could help me out with a resource. So I am looking for a service or an app that will let me grab the RSS feed from multiple shows, all the many dozens that I listen to, and combine them. So then that way I only have to subscribe to 5 or 6 feeds rather than, you know, 50, 60, 70. And there used to be a website that did this called Cast Roller, and it was run by one guy in Canada. And unfortunately, he wrapped up that project. But it was really cool at the time because you could create these channels, and then within each channel you could add specific shows. And then if you wanted to add or remove them, you could just go into the site and sort of log in. But I haven't found a replacement for that. There is one site called Chimp Feeder, which is a side project from MailChimp, and that's F-E-E-D-R, which kind of does this, but you can see it's basically not being supported. And also a major drawback is that once you create this combined RSS feed, there's no way to edit it. So if you wanted to add or remove a new podcast, you basically have to start over. And I have done that a couple times already. You know, you want to add some shows and build them up. But I wonder if there is a tool that does this. Hopefully it's not just like an Android app or something, but rather a web feature. Anyway, if you could help us out, I really appreciate it. Some kind of RSS combination tool. All right. Thanks a lot.
And to you, Dave.
Yes. And so I went searching for these. And well, first things first, I have to understand this a little bit. I guess he's looking for something that's web-based, because everything he does, you can do in a podcast app. Like I do that in Overcast. I have different playlists and things like that. Now, the one thing that's weird about Overcast, you don't have the playlists when you log into the website of Overcast, but you have every single podcast that you're subscribed to is there. And I know you can do that in the podcast app from Apple, but there's no web-based version of that, at least not off the top of my head. But there are, if you want to combine multiple RSS feeds into one, I found a couple, and I've used none of these, but I've heard about RSS Mixer. That's been around for a while. Feed Killer, Feed Informer, and there were, I saw this article on LiveWire.com, and Elsie will put a link to this out in the show notes, speaking of links and show notes. Mm-hmm. And it had a list of like six different tools that you can use and reviews of kind of which one did what. And they're out there. You just got to search a little bit.
Yeah, it's you know, what's interesting is now I forgot that when you were mentioned, you can do this with the apps. And yeah, you can actually do that with Overcast as well as Radio Public is one of their latest releases for Radio Public, where you can compile and sort of like a la Pandora, a la Spotify, you can share playlists. And so Radio Public has that as well, where you can compile. I'm not sure if it's the full RSS feed. That's one thing that I haven't played with. I'm not sure if it's compiling the RSS feed from a bunch of different podcasts, or if, like, let's say you compiled a listening experience for somebody. You did a playlist of, like, let's say the top podcast about podcasting for that week or whatever, and you can grab everybody's and then share that playlist, and somebody else that's using Radio Public, I do believe that you can click through it and then aggregate that to your app. So that's kind of nice. I haven't played with it enough to do that, but I do know that there's another, there is another email, you know, one of those emails that is focusing in on the podcasting industry. It's called Bella Collective, and they kind of focus a little bit more on the creative type podcasts, and it's aimed more at the listener rather than the industry itself, although sometimes they will put in some links to industry shows. And what they did in their last email is that they mentioned all of the different podcasts that they were sort of like highlighting that week. And they offered a link directly to the Radio Public app, so that people could kind of like click straight through that and get all of those podcasts. And they were testing it. They actually wrote that down and said, this just for fun, we're having all the links go to Radio Public. So that's something to think about as well.
Yay. There you go. More fun tools.
More fun tools. So, Dave, what do you think about the next conversation here? What shall we talk about?
Since I'm on the show,
yeah,
let's talk a little bit about what it's like in my chair as a Libsyn support person.
Person.
Yes. let me give you some of like the top questions I get, kind of a frequently asked question section.
Sounds great.
Probably the one I get a lot is people go, what is a download? Now, by that, they don't mean like, what is a download? They're seeing other websites that call them streams. They call them clicks and plays. And you know, it's like, so it's really easy with Libsyn. When someone on a computer or a website or a phone or a tablet, if they press play or download or whatever it's called, it counts as a download. I kind of just say, if you're listening to your podcast on whatever it is, wherever you are, hits a download. Now, obviously, we have systems in place to block robots of people just going play, 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 and all that kind of stuff. But for the most part, if somebody is listening to your podcast in Libsyn, it's going to be a download. And some people get kind of like, well, how do I know if it's from my website or is it on the player? Is it on the phone? You can see some of those stats. And if you have the advanced stats, you can go in and see the different resources, and you can see how many were in your feed. You can see how many were in on your website, the web player, things of that nature. But if somebody's listening to your show, it's a download. We don't differentiate because technically it's actually not a stream. If we want to get our geek on, it's a progressive download. But that's why we don't go there. We don't want to go knee deep in the weeds. It's just a download. Another one I get a lot is somebody will publish an episode. Like they'll just hit publish and they will immediately run to iTunes and they'll go, oh my gosh, my latest episode isn't in iTunes. Why isn't it showing up?
Oh no. The world is over.
It's broken. And what it is it will take up to 24 hours for your episode to appear. And the key word here is in the iTunes listing. So I always use the analogy of like a grocery store. If you think about this, let's say eggs are on sale and they're, 50% off or whatever. Yay, that's great. And they're in the store. They're right there. You can see them in the dairy section. But the person who hangs up the signs on the front that says eggs are on sale, he hasn't come in yet. And he'll be here somewhere in the next 24 hours to hang up that sign. So when you publish an episode, it's in your feed almost immediately. But it will only be on the iTunes listing, the front of the store, somewhere in the next 24 hours. So what this means is you could literally publish an episode, go to iTunes, be looking at it and going, it's not there, and then subscribe to your show and you would see it because it's in the feed almost immediately. It just – iTunes hasn't updated to show that in your listing. Does that make sense? Did I lose you with the weird grocery store analogy?
No, it actually was probably one of the best analogies I've heard, and I'm going to have to steal it.
Go right ahead.
Because part of it is like, it is totally like this too, because people are like, oh my God, if the egg sign is not in the front, no one will ever buy my eggs, right? Ever. And you're like, well, no. If somebody wants eggs, they actually know where the eggs are and they're going to go get them. Because a lot of people already know where the eggs are in the store, so they don't need a sign. So they're just going to go get them. They won't even notice that there is no egg sign.
They like your store. They go there every week.
They go there and they grab the eggs. Now, if there's a new person that comes in and goes, where are the eggs? The person that really wants eggs, they're going to search for the eggs or go walking around the store, find the eggs on their own and grab them and take them. Now, there is going to be the person who would only buy the eggs if they see a sign right in front of them.
Right.
Those people probably aren't going to be your subscribers anyway.
Exactly.
So,
It's easy to understand because it is a little like, wait, it's not there. It's RSS. I understand that. But just – and the easiest way to do this – and I do this. I recommend this to everybody. Subscribe to your own show. And it sounds – number one, you'll get one more download. But that way when you fire up your phone or your tablet or whatever you're using to get your show and you see it download, you know that your media host, hopefully Libsyn, is working, right? Whatever you're using, if you subscribe to your own show and you get it, and it's not in iTunes or if it's not here or not there, you know the technical part of it is working because you downloaded the show. So don't I'm just trying to stop you from getting on the ledge when it's not in iTunes. You'll be okay.
You will be okay. Yep.
Yeah. This is a new one for people that are using the Libsyn page. You talked about this a couple episodes on the feed. Mm-hmm. If you want to see an example of this, go to thefeed.libsyn.com. It looks darn pretty. And that is you're publishing the same way you always have. And there used to be a little button that said, here's a thumbnail for the website, yada, yada, yada. And now it's not there. And when you go to your Libsyn page, it's not, the thumbnail is not there. Well, this is a little bit I was trying to think of something to explain this. In the same way that Windows 95 is still not supported by Microsoft, we are moving to this bigger, better, faster, stronger web page for Libsyn users. It's still a basic website, but we're moving to this new technology. You have till May 1st to update your website. And so what's nice about this now is it used to be you would click on a thumbnail and it would automatically put it into your kind of show notes. Well, now you can still do that. There's a little picture of an image. It's that kind of little mountain looking icon. You can click on that and now you can put that little picture anywhere you want in your show notes. So it's, if you have that question, hey, where the heck is my thumbnail? It's not working, whatever. It's time for you to update to the new Libsyn page. You're going to love it. There's better comments. There's an about page. There's a contact page and they're just darn pretty. So that's, that one I've been getting a lot, but that's understandable because people need to update. But and the good news is if you're on the old page, the old page wasn't horrible, but you'll see when you upgrade, you'll like the new one. Another one I get a lot, and this is always kind of fun, is you'll be going along and maybe you're a brand new podcaster and you're getting, I don't know, 10, 20 downloads. And then all of a sudden, oh my gosh, I went to bed and I woke up and I had 250 downloads. Something must be wrong. And I always kind of want to go, well, number one, it's the internet. You know, this is a worldwide audience. And I was at, we were both at PodFest a couple weeks ago, and people were mentioning podcasts left and right in front of 200, 300, maybe 400 people in the audience. And they're all sitting there with their phones and their tablets and they're taking notes. So you could have somebody mention you and you could have, let's say, 50 people go, oh, and I want to go check out that show. And now let's say you have 10 episodes available and they come over and they download all 10 episodes. Well, 50 people times 10, that's 500 downloads in 24 hours. So in some cases, it's not that something was wrong. It's that, hey, somebody likes you and actually put a little spotlight on you. In some cases, it's interesting because if you go into your stats, it will show that the origin is unknown because there's no kind of digital footprint for that. Same thing kind of goes for email list. I don't know that there's a lot of digital footprint there to allow us to say, here's exactly where that came from. But in some cases, congratulations, you're putting out good content. Somebody liked it. And yeah, eventually people will find you. So it's have you had anybody had that, Elsie?
Where they're like, where they go, I have downloads. What's wrong? People are
yeah.
You know what? I haven't heard that. I think okay. that people are, it's usually the other way around where they're like, what does zero downloads mean?
Yes.
What does zero mean? I yes. know that well, that's not true.
Yeah. So. Well, that is, yeah, it's, I always hate to have to answer that question and go, that means nobody listened on that day. I'm sorry. But, yeah. Then the other thing I thought I would share, I know, Rob always occasionally will share a story about, and WordPress itself is not horrible. You just have to keep it up to date. You have to make sure you have a backup of it. That's what I always say. And I found out something, this is my sad WordPress story. I had, you know, probably, I don't know, 10, 12 years ago, I got a hosting account and they said you could host multiple domains on it. And I'm like, well, this is awesome because I'm paying, I don't know, $8 a month. And I'm throwing every time I want to launch a new website, I'm like, I'll just throw it on here. And eventually I got a little, like a little meter on the side and kind of said, okay, you're using up enough resources. So I was like, okay, no more on that one. And to make a long story short, I try to keep everything updated, but there's when you have a bunch of websites, it's hard to keep on top of them. And I had one that got really behind, and it got some malware. So they send me this thing. They said, "Hey, just so you know, we've letting you know that we've shut down your site." And I'm like, "Oh, okay." So I go over. Not only did they shut down that site,
oh no,
they shut down every single website on that account.
Oh my gosh!
And I was like, "What?" So sure, I saved an extra whatever $5-$8 per domain name, but like my whole and now luckily the School of Podcasting is not on that; they're on their own separate thing. But you know, my podcast review show, a couple other ones, I'm like, and so now I'm fighting with them. I've had people clean up the malware. And I have to go contact them and say, okay, it's clean now. And they'll come back and say, nope, there's another one on this domain. And I'm like, ugh. So that's something I won't be doing in the future. If you have a place that lets you have multiple domains under one account, I don't know that I would recommend that after this fun-filled little fiasco.
Yeah, that's not good.
Yeah. So, but those are some of the common things that I run into as a support person. And of course, if you have any questions for support, it's really easy. Just support@libsyn.com.
Yay! Thank you so much, Dave. And, you know, we do see the same sort of questions come up a lot of the time. And we also understand that you don't know what you don't know. You know, like there's times where your expectation or your ability to understand if there when there's a real problem isn't quite clear because for the most part things go right with us, you know what I mean, or with the process of podcasting where it is kind of seamless. You publish your episode, it goes out, yay, you get downloads, sweet, you know, you have all of these things that always work. So the majority of our users aren't really used to having things go wrong. So when things go wrong, it's like, oh my God, where's my app? You know what I mean? It's like, no, everything's fine. It's just, you know what I mean? So I think that there is, yeah, I believe like for the most part, iTunes is always going to be wonky. And that is such a bad answer. And I feel kind of snarky saying things like that because people want definitive answers when it comes to iTunes, meaning like, how come my own podcast is not showing up? Or I have, you know, it needs to be there. How am I supposed to send it? Or it hasn't, my artwork hasn't updated. Oh my God, the world is over. And usually my answer is like, you know what? iTunes has problems a lot. you can't bet on it. And I'm not sure people like that answer.
Yeah, it's not perfect. It's that's for sure. But you know, it is what it is.
It is what it is.
So hey, did Rob happen to leave his soapbox? Do you know if it's around?
You know what? Yes, it is. It actually is it underneath you? I think it's underneath
you. You know, here it right is. Now. Yes, okay. There's an article that came out, and I was kind of like, ugh. And first of all, it was sponsored by a company who has ties to radio, and they keep quoting a guy who was tied to radio, and it's the whole thing. They're saying how long podcasts are just, you know, forget about it. In fact, they have a stat, and I'll just read this. It says, recent analysis of listening habits from the NPR One app reveals that a mere 18 words into a segment, people are deciding whether they will continue listening. Another recent and equally compelling set of data from one of the podcast aggregators shows an attrition rate of 40% in the first 7 minutes. Longer podcasts, so this is the problem then, not the first 7 minutes. No. Longer podcasts should expect 2/3 of their audiences gone, sometimes between 20 and 60 minutes. I do not get the math here. So if your first 7 minutes are horrible and people tune out, it's because your show is 30 minutes long. I'm like, yeah, no, it sounds to me like your first 7 minutes are horrible and you're talking about French toast recipes when you should be getting to the topic. I was like, I just didn't follow the math on that. And I also actually left a comment on there and I'm like, but wait a minute, Dan Carlin just set a new record for 1 million downloads in 24 hours and his podcast was 6 hours long. I'm like, I don't think it's the length of the podcast. One of my favorite quotes from a kind of another radio guru, her name is Valerie Geller. She has a great book called Beyond Powerful Radio. And she says, there is no such thing as too long, only too boring. Yeah. And so I just thought it was, to me, I just read this and I got to the end where they're like, yeah, if you're over 20 minutes, forget about it. And I was like, ugh, no, it means the beginning of your show is horrible.
Right.
Fix it.
No, it did. Right. It's true. No, I completely agree. You have to understand too. It's like but I'm also partial. Like I'm not sure how much like taste comes into play here, because the majority of my personal favorite podcasts are all at least 60 minutes, at least. And I listen through the entire thing. You know, like I go through the whole thing.
Well, I know This American Life and Serial, that team just put out a new show. It's a new murder mystery.
Yeah.
I forget the name of it.
S-Town.
S-Town, yes. And I started to listen to it, and they spent, I don't know, 90 seconds talking about antique clocks. And I'm like ready to hear about a murder mystery. And they were setting the scene.
Right.
And they are and putting it together. And I'm like, you know what? Maybe I'm just an impatient listener, which I think I kind of am. I like people to get to the point.
Right.
But I tuned out. So they lost me in the first, you know, 18 words of the when he started. I'm like, I'm ready to hear about the murder and the mystery. And instead they're talking about antique clocks. And I was just like, okay, I'll listen to that later. And then I never went back.
Well, I think that, you know what you're hitting right there is the fact that we have expectations around the media that we are consuming. You know, if you are only used to watching reality TV. Let's say that that's your bread and butter when you're when you're watching TV, right? You just like reality TV. And then all of a sudden you're watching a show, you know, on PBS about a period piece. Then you're going to sit there and go, you lost me here. I don't even know what's happening. Right? Yeah. Because it really, it requires the person that's consuming the media to sort of shift hats, to sort of go like, this is no longer this, it's this. So with the reality TV, it's 30 minutes long, it's bing, bang, bong, it's cuts, it's quick, you know, basically sound bites. It's things to make you go, oh my God. And usually, you know, like a long form sort of PBS drama, like, I don't know, any of the ones that are mostly on PBS, they require you to sit there and listen and watch. And there's intricate, subtle character development that often takes two or three episodes to get through.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But you're invested in it in that way. It doesn't mean that, you know, if somebody who's used to one thing is going to quit, you know, consuming that content earlier, possibly. We just have to be used to that. And I think that it's sort of like, I remember when I started to listen to audiobooks, the first time I listened to an audiobook, I was like, I'm not sure I can do this, because I was used to listening to podcasts, to regular talking, to normal sort of cadence, to just, yeah, normal talking. And
right.
Audiobooks are not like that. They're much slower, and it's a book. Somebody's reading.
Yeah. So, it sounds like they're reading.
Yeah, it sounds like they're reading. And whoa. So I had to kind of get used to, I had to give it a shot. Like, it took me, I would say, a few days of listening to like about 30 to minutes to an hour to finally get my ear to be okay listening, because before it really did sound like it was just blah 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 blah, and I wasn't hearing anything. So I don't know, I think that has a lot more to do with it than time.
Yeah,
but I agree.
Absolutely.
With you. I agree with you. So you know what, we have a guest on the show, Dave.
Excellent.
Okay, so should we just go ahead and invite our guest over for a little bit here?
Absolutely. Let's bring him on.
Here we go.
Hey, Elsie and Dave. Good generic time of the day. Sorry I couldn't make it this week. But hey, I do have some stats. So let's look at the user agent stats. This is for downloads in the month of February. Mobile downloads for February were again at an all-time high, at an amazing 86.47% of all downloads in February going direct to mobile devices. Computer downloads were, of course, at an all-time low at 13.33%. And set-top boxes, well, they held basically steady at 0.21%. Yes, set-top boxes are 21/100 of a single percent. But mobile devices, again, are more than 17 out of every 20 download requests. The iOS to Android ratio moved down just a smidge, 4.41:1. And that's pretty much the same as last month. It's 4.5:1 ratio. So it seems maybe things have flattened out there. Hard to say, but we'll see next month. OEM apps, those are apps pre-installed on mobile devices by manufacturers not named Apple, were at 6.5% for February, up a bit from 6.23% in January. Samsung remains, as always, responsible for the biggest part of the OEM apps by a large margin. Mobile aggregator apps dropped in February with 11.94% of all downloads versus 12.1% in January. So we've seen the mobile aggregator apps keep dropping each month a little bit. I said last month, maybe that's because of Google Play Music. Who knows? And the big dog in aggregator apps, of course, is still Apple, with iTunes and the podcast app coming up to 68.38% of all downloads in February. That's up from 67.89% in January. Once again, the Apple ecosystem uptick goes all the way back to September and is on the iOS side. So we've seen pretty steady growth each month since September. Per the aggregators to consume at, number two for February stayed with Podcast Addict at 5.74%. Number three was Stitcher at 2.47%. Number four was Pocket Cast, Shift Jelly Pocket Cast at 1.44%. Number five is Overcast at 1.32%. Then there's that big drop to the next group that are all under 1%, and numbers 6, 7, 8, and 9 combined were 1.04%. And that goes in order, Player FM, Downcast, EM Audio Player, and Podcast for Windows Phone. And then there's a big drop from there with everything else combined, less than 1%. And some of the others in order are NPR One, RSS Radio, Podkicker, AntennaPod, Castro, iHeartRadio, ExoPlayer, PodCruncher, and Instacast. And then there were a bunch more, but they were really small. In February, we continue to see where mobile picks up percentages points. Now we're over 86% of all downloads direct to mobile devices. I mean, that just think about that. It just keeps growing and growing. I never thought it would get above 80%, and it keeps growing. Our measured results, however, do contrast a bit from the numbers that were released in the Edison survey for 2017. They had 33% listening most often on a computer versus our 13% direct downloads on a computer. And I think it's pretty safe to say that no one actually downloads on a mobile device, then syncs it to their computer so that they can listen to it on their computer later on. So let's just say 33% listening on a computer versus 13% listening on a computer on the Edison versus the Libsyn measured stats. So Edison survey versus Libsyn measured stats. I did a detailed coverage of the Edison report with Todd Cochran and Rob Greenlee on the New Media Show, episode 161. So all three of us went over the Edison report, the slides for the podcast. We took us an hour and a half to go through over all the slides. Go check out episode 161 if you want to hear a much, much more in detail coverage of the Edison report. And you can hear from perspective of three different folks, you know, Todd from Blueberry, Rob Greenlee from Spreaker, and myself from Libsyn. Now, when it came to the item here, mobile or computer download, 33% versus 13%, and why it's so different in numbers, Tom was in the audience from Edison, and he tried to say, we didn't have as big a coverage of the podcast space, and that NPR shows and public media shows audiences were older and likely listening on a computer, and that skewed things more, and that's why. And let me say, that way, way overplays the influence of public media. They are less, a lot less than 1% of all the shows out there. They're a fraction of a percent of all the shows out there, and they're less than 15% of all the downloads. Libsyn's way over 25% of all the downloads that are out there. That said, we actually do host some of the NPR and public media shows. So Tom's comment got me thinking, let me go look at what some of the NPR shows, public media shows, are doing. And I looked at the stats of recent episodes. And no, they were not 90% computer downloads. They need to be something crazy like that to really skew things. When I looked at them, I actually found them all to be over 85% mobile downloads. Gee, just like what we see for the other shows. And the bigger ones, some of the bigger ones, like Suspected Convictions, they were 95% direct to mobile download. So they were better than what we were saying, not worse. So the whole idea that, oh, it's an NPR show, there's going to be more people listening on computer, that doesn't weigh out or come out at all in what we see measuring those public media shows with us. So I don't buy that at all. It's okay to say it's a survey. It's not measured data. It's ask data. It's not perfect data. But I do appreciate the Edison survey each year, because some things you just can't measure hard data on, and you need the survey for like name recognition of podcasting, which is now at 60%. Hey, good thing we never listened to those naysayers that said the name podcasting was holding us back. Boy, I bet those people feel silly right about now, don't they? Just like those that say public media is more than 75% of the top shows. That just is how it looks when you look at the media coverage in the press. But reality is, it's not close to that. And again, all public media shows make up a fraction of a single percent. Less than 1% of the shows out there are public media. Indie podcasters make up the lion's share of the shows and the lion's share of the downloads. Keep up the great work, indie podcasters. Elsie, Dave, thanks for having me on the show today. Talk to you all in 2 weeks. Ciao.
Aw, Rob.
Aw, it's almost like he's here.
I know. But so he gave you the scoop on some stats. How about that? Do you have any thoughts about that? Dave?
I'm just happy because I thought I was going to have to go through withdrawal.
Oh, right. Yeah. So now you got it. Now you got
and
it.
And I'm surprised. Well, I'm not surprised in a way. I'm just glad to hear that all the stats are going up. You know, I keep waiting for, you know, every month they keep going up and up and up. And I'm like, I keep, you know, the fact that, you know, 85% of people are now listening on mobile downloads.
That's, I know. That's insane.
Yeah. Great. So it just keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger.
Yeah. I'm always looking at the apps that are being used, you know, as something to kind of focus on in terms that are the ones that are not the podcast app, just because I want to continue to educate people about how to listen to podcasts. And I think that that's probably a place that we are dropping the ball around. So I'm trying to figure out what the best way it is to sort of support these smaller apps, because the majority of these smaller apps, meaning when I'm saying smaller apps, I'm saying anything that's not the podcast app from Apple, are a lot easier to consume content in. You know, it's like, it's so much easier to do that. It would help people so much more to be able to do that, to just listen to the podcasts. So yeah. And also, like, Rob mentioned that he was, on with, Rob Greenlee and Todd Cochran in the New Media Show, where they discussed the infinite dial, information data. And like Dave and I sort of like passed on that because, I'm sure you guys have all heard a lot of it. I will.
Well, now, if you want to listen to Dave or Elser, do you want to listen to Hall of Fame podcaster Rob Walsh, Hall of Fame podcaster Todd Cochran, and Rob Greenlee from Spreaker? Who are you going to listen to? They have a much not that our opinion doesn't matter, but yeah.
Yeah, it just seems like they'll have a lot more to bring to the table. So you guys can definitely check that out. And thanks, Rob, for being a guest on the show.
Yes.
And again, you know, he also gave you a nice, push to indie podcasters to continue, for us to continue doing what we're doing, because we matter. And we are important,
and so, doggone it, people like
and
you.
People don't like you. Oh my God. Oh my God. All right. So, Dave, have you been anywhere? Like, were you in any podcasts or, you know, I know you've got like, so, I mean, you have your own podcast that you are like on, and then you have podcast that you're a guest in. So
I was recorded on a show and I can't remember who it was. Okay. Ooh, so when great. That comes out, I'll let you know.
Yeah, that'll be great. Sweet. That's awesome. So what have your last couple of episodes for your podcast been about? We'll put a plug in there for those.
I had Emily Prokop come on and talk a little kind of journalism 101.
Cool.
So if you're doing interviews and just how to cover stories, we talked about some new technology. I'll be talking about technology in my next episode, comparing. There's a new tool called Pod Hero out that I'm kicking the tires on. So I love to play with toys. So I'll be talking about that as well.
Very cool. All right. So, and are you going anywhere?
I'm glad you said that. I'm going to the grocery store later today and then the laundromat.
Get some eggs.
Yeah. No, next week, March 22nd, if you are in Tampa, Florida, the Messengers documentary, is the documentary, is going to have an actual premiere at an actual theater.
Oh, how exciting.
So I'm flying down to watch that, and they're also going to do another Q&A. And I said, oh, I got to go down just to – it is weird, though, seeing your head on a giant screen.
Yeah.
It's very bizarre. So, but I'm going to go down to that. So if you're in Tampa, it's the 22nd, I believe, doors open at 6:30 in the movie. I want to say is at 7. So it should be a lot of fun. So if you're in Tampa, come to the movie and stop by and say hi.
Very, very cool. Rob will be speaking on a panel at Social Media Marketing World in San Diego. And that is happening March 23rd. And that is at 4:10 p.m. And he will be on the panel with Paul Colligan, Gary Leland, and John Lee Dumas. So that should be a fun panel. I'm not sure who the moderator is or if he's the moderator or whatever. But so that should be a good one. How to monetize your podcast, you guys.
There we go.
That's really what people like to do. And then let me see. Then Rob's also going to be at NAB in April. again, a panel discussion that he will be moderating, and Rob Greenlee from Spreaker, Todd Cochran from Raw Voice / Blueberry, and Rob McCracken from Scripps Midroll / Stitcher. And that's going to be happening April 26th, 10:30 local time. So I'm assuming that's Pacific Standard Time, in room N253, in case you guys are somewhere in Vegas. Come and check out that discussion. I think that that's going to be a good one. And finally, Rob will be speaking at Word Camp Kansas City on Saturday, April 29th. And the session is Why Bloggers Must Podcast. How about that? And finally, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, and if anybody's wondering, where is Rob? What a silly guy. He's doing family stuff.
I know, right?
So kudos to Rob for putting family first. So
I know. His I can't believe he's not town. Podcasting.
I know. So he's hanging out with his parents. Good for him.
Yay. And again, we are going to be the silver sponsor at Podcast Movement, guys. That will be August 2017. So it's, I think, August 23rd, 24th, and 25th, I believe. And it's happening in Anaheim. You can book now your room for Podcast Movement. So please do that as soon as you can. And then finally, the LA Podfest is happening in LA, October the 6th, 7th, and 8th. Tickets are now available, and Rob will also be in attendance there. You can go over to lapodfest.com. So again, we have, you know, as an organization, or if you have an organization or an event that you need someone to speak about podcasting, you can email rob@libsyn.com, and we have a few people that can actually help you out in that respect. So if you have any feedback, please email thefeed@libsyn.com. You can also call 412-973-1934 and leave us a voice comment that way. Or you can just do what these two guys did in this episode, which is they just emailed thefeed@libsyn.com and attached an audio file. And that's like a super easy way for you guys to do that. You all know how to do that. So I expect to hear from y'all. That is all. Anything else, Dave, that you want to get out?
That was great hanging out with you, Elsie.
Yay.
Rob, thanks for letting me sit in your chair.
Yes.
And let me use your soapbox. I appreciate that.
I know. You're going to have to clean it up, though.
I know.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll see you guys in a couple of weeks. All right. Bye-bye.